Hello and welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor of Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
And so I've entitled my message this, slightly tongue-in-cheek, but not necessarily so. My title is this, Just Say Something. Is that, if you don't remember anything else, remember this amazing piece of advice, just say something, right? Let God do the rest, but say something, just don't freeze, right? I know in my life, and I won't tell you stories because they're too embarrassing, but I know people have asked me from time to time, and you just kind of go like, my mind's blank, I don't know. He loves you. But just say something, right? Just say something. And we're going to explore, perhaps, enabling each one of us to say a little bit more than just something. I love the whole Bible. And these last few days, I've been in the letters of John. John was possibly the closest disciple that Jesus had. He was definitely one of the three and perhaps the one that Jesus hung around with the most. And he introduces his first letter like this. So 1 John chapter 1, and I'm going to read the first 12 verses. And he writes this, and I love this. This is, if it were, what he would say if somebody asked him, so, this Jesus. He says this, 1 John 1 verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Remember, he walked and lived with Jesus. Which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared and we have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word has no place in our lives. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And I love it. And I've reread it so many times this last 2 weeks and tried to imagine all that John had seen and heard and smelt and touched. And, you know, he was with Jesus when he was on the mountainside and he got hot and sweaty. He was there with him, next to him. He was there when the miracles. He was there in the resurrection when he was asked, do you want to poke the holes in my hands? He was there. And he was there. He was on the beach when Jesus made fish for them. And he took Simon Peter off for the little chat, for those of you who remember that story. And he would have watched Peter go off and thought, I wonder what he's saying. I'm sure Peter told him at some point later what they'd had the conversation about. He was there. And it's like amazing, right? What a story. What a testimony, a story. And I want to suggest that all of us should be thinking about two things when we're thinking about what to say. Is this all right? Two things. First one is this. You need to be thinking about, how can I talk to people about my moments or my encounters, my meetings with God? Can I be telling people about that? If I've somehow built such a relationship, maybe in an instant on a train journey or on a flight, or maybe over time you built a relationship, when they come to that point of saying, well, why do you think? We should be thinking about those moments with God. When we have seen him do something, or we have experienced a miracle in our life, we should have those moments in our head. I remember years and years ago, and it stuck in my mind, I went to a little Methodist chapel, right? And I met Michelle, who went to a Methodist church, which was not that dissimilar, but her youth leader used to go to these Pentecostal events, which were all new and scary for me. I'm just a teenager, right? I'm probably, anybody 17 or 18 in the, you're not Dave. No, you're 40, mate. You might be 17 in your head, but no, it's gone. It's gone. And I remember going into this auditorium in the NEC in Birmingham, and there must have been 1,000 or 1,500 teenagers. And the worship started, and almost with one accord, they stood up and they were lifting their hands and they were praising God. And I'd never experienced the presence of God like I did in that moment. And it stayed with me forever. The fact that God is not far off. He's close. He's really close to us. And what stories have you got of when God did? See, the first times, obviously, are often more powerful. But when he's seen God, felt him for the, not the first time, but have you got some of those moments you can talk about? Have you ever felt like you've touched God? Almost like he was there. If you close your eyes, he was like he was there. I mean, John, he'd literally touched Jesus. He'd had meals with him and presumably handed him food and cups. They used to lie down, didn't they, in weird ways, and they would have been really close, and he would have brushed up against Jesus. It sounds weird, right? But when John writes this is his experience. When he touched Jesus and presumed hugged him or whatever, they kissed him on two cheeks or whatever they did in those days as the official greeting after he came back to life. And he writes it from that. You see, people are really interested in your, how was it for you? How was it for you? Now, they might not say, right, I'm going to become a Christian there, but it'll go away with a lasting memory of the moment that you somehow touched or Jesus. I know it sounds a bit weird, but you know what I'm saying, right? If you love Jesus, those special moments when it came about, and then he talks about what he's heard, those moments in John's life where Jesus particularly spoke to him, or Jesus was saying something that particularly struck John's heart, because obviously John must have heard thousands of words from Jesus, right? But there'll be odd ones stuck. What has God taught you over the years? Those things that have stuck in your life. They're so precious for you. Well, actually, as you share them, that preciousness will flow out through your heart into the other person's heart. You can teach them stacks of Bible, maybe, if you've been a Christian for a while. But what people really want to hear is, how's it impacted you? What was it the moment when God says something to you? What did it mean? How did it feel? What did it change in your life? Those moments, those encounters, those meetings with God. The first prayer that you felt was answered. The first piece of knowledge that was dropped into your life. The first word that was spoken over you. The first direction of the Holy Spirit that you followed and man, it was amazing. The first time you witnessed something, did God do amazing. The first time that heaven was no longer a concept on the pages in a book, but a reality in the center of your heart. Those moments. And they're all different. And God does it on purpose, because you'll connect with people I can't connect with, and I can connect with people that you can't connect with. And that's why it's all important that we remember those moments. The other thing that we need to talk about, I think, is this. I've got something else to say as well. Don't worry, it's only 2 points to finish. We need to talk about the good news of what Jesus did. The gospel is what Christians talk about. But it's good news that what Jesus did. For me, I remember it like this, because it's easy. God's love, God's holy, God's powerful, and a bit scary. I walked away from him. There's a point in my life where I wasn't close to him. Rebellion. Actually, I just want to do my own thing. I didn't think of it like rebellion, but I want to do my own thing, right? And there was a distance between me and God because of that. God couldn't draw close to me, even though he was close to me, because of my barriers, not because of his barriers. And there's consequences for that, and the Bible says the consequence is death, separation from God forever. And the good news is that God loved us enough and was powerful enough to come in the present form of Jesus, die on the cross, and take the consequences on his shoulders so that we didn't need to bear them anymore. But, and this is the key one, and so many Christians almost forget this, it's a gift that Jesus then offers if you want it. This gift of forgiveness, the consequence has been removed. It's that needs to be opened. It needs to be unpacked. It's not a, great, I'll have it. You take the present and sit on your kitchen table and leave it. That's not. The gospel message is you unpack the present. Accept it and unpack it and begin to follow Jesus. It's the whole thing. The present is Jesus, not just the gift of salvation. Does that make sense? I've met so many Christians say, yeah, I'm saved because I accepted Jesus. You go, but are you following him? Are you following? The present's Jesus. You remember? That's the present. The present is him. It is the relationship. And as we accept that relationship, we get forgiven, right? Because he represents us before God. That's the gospel message. Most of you know it. If you don't, just make some notes down and learn it. Just learn it. There are two things I think we should be thinking about when people ask us, so we can say something. Just say something. Something about a moment, an encounter, a meeting with God, something about the good news, the gospel of Jesus. But I want to suggest there's five things we can do before we get there. So this is your practical note-making bit, right? First of all, make sure that your stories and the gospel message is yours. Make sure your stories and your gospel message is yours. You are not going to use John's message, are you? So it's John, because John says this. This is the message. This is how he puts the gospel message, he says. Verse 5, he says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live in the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You're probably not going to use that, right? Anybody going to use that one? You know, I just want to let you know that God is light and you're living in darkness. Unlucky. But it's all right because the Son of Jesus will purify you if you follow him. People are going like, what in the heck are you on about? Right? It's not you. It's not the way we put it today. Obviously, in John's day, it worked. And you might go, but why did he say that? Well, for you Bible scholars, you Bible scholars out there know that actually it's from John chapter 12. You knew that, right? Yeah? Tim? No. John chapter 12. Jesus says these words. And for some reason, these really struck the apostle John. Jesus said to them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of the light. And those words, I think, so impacted John's life that whenever he thought of the gospel message, he thought about, if I'm following Jesus, I'm walking in the light, and if I don't, I'm walking in darkness, and I'll stumble and fall and make a mess of my life. And that was his gospel message. What's your gospel message? I can't write yours, right? You've got your own. What did God teach you? Is it freedom? Was it release from something? Is that your gospel message? I came and my life was like this and God came and transformed it. And it's like this now and it's amazing. Is it one about love? I felt lonely and lost. And the love of God impacted my life. And that's your gospel story. You're still going to have the same format, right? But that's your gospel story. That's what you're going to share. Why? Because that's you. It's what happened to you. I was sick and ill, and somebody prayed for me, and a miracle happened. My God's a miracle healing God. If you need a miracle, you need to find Jesus. What's your story? I was financially broke. I had nothing. I was desperate. I don't know what was happening. I prayed, and suddenly, God came through. There was a job. There was a gift. God is a God of resources. That's your gospel message. That's your message for you. And you need to find your message, not somebody else's message, not my message or a preacher's message. You need to find your message. based on your moments, your encounters, your meetings with God. That's your message. You're not going to use John's light, are you? Well, you can if you want, if that's what you think, right? If that's you. But what's your message? What's your gospel message? It's the same gospel. It's the same Jesus. It's the same need of a relationship restoring with God. But what's your message? And if this is your first time in church, you don't have a message yet. But when you find Jesus and you encounter him, you will discover a message which you can then share with other people. I was like this and this happened. This is what God did because he's this kind of God and he can be in your life as well. It's why you'll reach people I can't and why I can reach people you can't. But why all of us need to say something, right? That's why it's important that we all say something. So that's the first thing. And secondly, I just want to suggest that you prepare. I'm stunned that Christians don't prepare for that encounter. You're a Christian, right? God's Spirit lives inside you. And his commission, his command is to go make disciples of all nations, right? That means he's going to do it through you at some point in your life. So just get ready for it. Right? Make sure you know some stories or you can talk about some of your stories. Have you ever shared some of your encounters? The ones that really mean something with somebody else. Have you prepared them and have you shared them with somebody else? You see, God promises in Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 to 20, that when we need to know what to say, the Holy Spirit inside us will tell us what to say, right? Which is brilliant. So when you're stuck, God will come through. But that passage does not mean there's nothing for us to do ahead of time. The Bible's always about planning and preparing all the way through Proverbs, and Jesus talks about it when people are building towers or going for war. He says, go prepare. Are you prepared? If you walk out this building, say you did, onto the street, and somebody said, where have you been? Can you give them at least an answer? Something about why you came to church. Tomorrow morning when you guys go to work and somebody will be in work tomorrow, if somebody says, well, what did you do at the weekend? You say, I went to church. And they say, why? Can you give an answer? Have you prepared something? And you need to be obviously open to the Holy Spirit to speak to you, but I'll put it this way. If you were my employee, because you're not, well, actually, a couple of you are, I asked you, and my mission to you, and I said, what I want you to do is go and advertise Valley Church. Okay, that was your job, to go and do that, which actually probably is, right, in part, all of you, this is your church. And then I discovered you had done no preparation work at all before you went out. Guess what I do? Well, what would you do if your employee did that? You bring him back in, you give him a good talking to, you say, if you do that again, I'll have to find somebody else. We want to build an amazing church, yeah? Do you want to see people saved in your life? Do you want people to find Jesus? Everybody I know in this place, I know the answer is yes, yes, and yes, please. Well, let's just do a bit of prep ready for it, right? Let's just, even this afternoon, just get your notebook out and say, right, I'm going to list 3 or 4 amazing moments in my life. I'm going to try and figure out what that means for my gospel message. And when somebody asks, I can say, well, this happened to me, and this is what Jesus can do. And you need Jesus you're not slaveless, you're going to go through whatever. But you know what I'm saying, right? Be prepared. The third thing I want to say is this. Excuse my voice. The third thing I want to say is this. Is make sure that your response is short. Short. I've met a few Man United fans over the years. And man, they can waffle on. You can, right? And if you're really excited about something, man, you can probably waffle on as well, especially you talkers among you. Get you started on the subject, 15 minutes later, I've fallen asleep, but you're still going. Not noticed. Now, I hope you're excited about Jesus and what he's done in your life, right? I hope when you get into a story, you kind of spark and you want to say more and more and more about Jesus. I hope that's how you feel. If not, then get to connect, get some, pray, and we'll pray for you. And yeah. But so keep your answer short, right? Precise. You see, if you want to tell somebody the whole gospel message when they ask you, it'll take you 5 or 10 minutes. That's too long. Hence why you need your own story. You need to make sure it's just a couple, 2-3 minutes long. And you pause long enough for them to stop you and ask questions. But it needs to be short. I like a few sentences in reply. I don't want an essay. Verbally, right? Most of you the same. Some of you not. Some of you are fine. But most of us, we want you to answer my question, but not too long. Because that was not what I wanted from you. And it's the same when we talk. Let's make sure it's... Is that good? So fourth thing is this. Pray for both opportunities and courage. Courage to just say something. But pray for both. And finally, when you do it in faith. And the writer of the Hebrews says this about faith. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. I'll just read it again. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I.e., faith is stepping out over the edge of a ledge and hoping it's going to be all right. And when we share, we need to do it with faith. We need to do it with a hope that God will come through, a sure and certain hope that God will come through, and that we will be, we are certain inside that people will respond to the gospel message. I am utterly convinced that if, I want to put it like this, okay. I like to have control in my life, and I suspect I'm not the only one, right? I suspect most of you here like to have control of your family finances and parents. We like to make sure our kids are all doing all right and control them until they get too big and that's more awkward. But anyway, have to get used to that. And but we like to make sure our finances are good. We like to make sure our time's good. It's my time. It's my space. It's my relationship. You know, we like control. It's our problem with God, right? And it's not gone away. It's not gone away in your life. Control is good. And the thing about faith is, it is like this. I was thinking about it this morning and praying a bit as I was finishing this message off about it's like, you see, faith is like this. It's like, you know that your target or what you want to achieve is over there somewhere. And there's just a big hole. And what we do as human beings is we kind of get to the edge and then we start building stuff. I build a bit more finance, that'll get me out a bit further. I build some more relationships, that'll get out a bit further. And we keep building. But the gap's still big. And this is what faith is. Faith is in the end saying, God, I've done my little bits. I'm now going to throw myself off the end and hope you catch me. Because for sure, I can't figure any more reasons out. I can't do anymore. I'm done. I've done my preparing. I've thought about my moments. I've got my gospel sorted. I've been praying. I've got my friends praying. And now I'm just going to say something and I'm going to step off the end. If you don't catch me, I'm done. Faith is believing that God will catch you as you step off, as you maybe throw yourself off the edge into God's grace and into God's future in your life. If we're going to build an amazing church and amazing lives, need to just have faith. Not stupid faith, but faith nonetheless. That when we just say something, God will come through. I have the privilege of kind of going to stuff, going to the meetings and meeting other pastors and stuff. One thing that's cropping up more and more at the moment is this. There's an openness to people listening to the gospel message. Your gospel message, your story, there's a whole host of people out there who are waiting, prepared for you to share about what the gospel message means for you and has meant for you, your story. There's a whole host of people out there. Or you see, my faith is growing that when I throw myself, step off the edge, I feel like I'm throwing myself off. You might feel more gentle and you can just step yourself off. I have to throw myself off. I'm never going to step off. Do you know, like you, when you're on a diving board, do you kind of nicely step off? Fall, or do you kind of jump? I jump. I'm never going to step off. My head says he's stupid, right? And it is almost the same. Faith is looking at things that you can't control, but you hope and you believe. And if we're going to build this thing called church, the kingdom of God, if we're going to set another generation up for a zillion winds, if we're going to help create a base that the next generation can stand on and go forward and build a more amazing kind of kingdom church after we've gone, we need to just have faith, guts, whatever it is, but a belief that God will catch us. And it's why my title's called Just Say Something. Because some of you will say, yeah, but I can prepare, I can think, but when I get there, it just all goes out of my head. Well, welcome to the club, right? Welcome to the club. But God will then kick in. Those things you've prepared, he'll remind you of. Those stories that you were passionate about, your heart will suddenly burst and he'll actually help you pick the right one for this particular conversation that you need to have with this particular person. And if you've prepared, I actually believe that God will help you pick the bits of the gospel out that you need to particularly share with this person in this instance. Remember, we're not trying to make them be Christian. We're trying to point them to Jesus. Jesus is the one who saves them. Jesus is the one who saves them. All of you who know Jesus have a story. Just say something. Just say something. I'm going to pray. I'm going to hand back to Jack, I think. Father, we thank you for what you've done in our life. We thank you, Father, that you have not asked us to do anything particularly difficult. All you've really asked us to do is to say something. Father, I pray for all of us in this room that know you. Father, help us to be prepared. Help us to think about things. Help us to do all the things that we can do. And then, God, I pray, help us to be brave and courageous, to step out in faith and believe that you will come through and the person I'm talking to will be interested, that they'll want to respond, that there'll be a heartfelt response from them. If I want to know more, I want to know more about this Jesus that's obviously done so much for you. God, I pray, give us bravery and courage, but also, Father, give us faith to know that you will come through and that you have prepared those already in our worlds that we're going to meet to help them over the line of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.